Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Bingo.
All right.
Well, with it being the last episode of the year, I think it's only fitting if we do a sort of year-end event.
Yeah.
Seems reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah, I decided that we're going to count down our, top 10, top 5. We're going to count down our top canceled Eurovision Song Contests of the year, starting with number 1. Eric, what is it?
It's, drum roll.
Yes.
Eurovision 2020.
Boo! That's it. Roll it, Derek.
And welcome to another canceled episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the country that's sweeping the nation. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
Good times.
Yeah, we did it. That's right. Just sweeping it right out of the nation.
Shoveling the nation. Right that's now in Twin Cities, it is snowing very heavily.
Yep, we are in Minnesota winter mode.
Finally.
Sure.
I am currently wearing about 4 different fleece blankets. I've curled up with here with my tea. I got my space heater on by my feet.
More like street sweeping the nation. Am I right? Anyway, Sam, give us them socials.
Right. If you want to mock Danny's attempt at a segue, you can hit us up at either Facebook or Twitter at 12pointsUSA. You can email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Just check out our website, 12pointsfromamerica.com. Whatever medium you're using to listen to us, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, whatever works, if you have the chance to give us a review, a rating, subscription, feel free to give us as many stars as you can. We would love to hear your opinions, just as you are listening to ours. And also, the more that you rate and review us, the more people get to hear us. So it's a vicious yet beautiful cycle that we can't do without you. Speaking of podcasts and all of that, I wanted to give a quick shout out to a friend of the show, actually. I was invited a couple months ago to chat about the potential American Song Contest over at the Nil Point podcast, which is based out of the UK. And they actually invited me back to submit a question for their end of year podcast quiz. So if you want to listen to how I stumped the folks over at the Nil Point podcast, check them out. They are available at all the normal outlets. That's NULPOINTS, Nil Point, Nil Points.
And that's 12 fewer points than our show has.
That's true.
Could we spare a couple of points for them? I feel terrible.
But then we would
possibly...
In this
economy?
Yeah, fair.
Okay, fine. Fine.
So happy belated Christmas, you guys.
Yeah,
belated
thank
Festivus.
You.
Hanukkah for me.
Everyone have a good holiday.
Yeah, low key.
Sure.
Low key. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah,
good.
My boyfriend wrapped up Tom Hiddleston and put him under the tree for me. It was a great holiday.
Yeah, I bet.
Maybe not for Tom, but for me it was great.
Yeah.
It's no David Tennant, but that's a nice thought.
Anyone get any Eurovision related gifts?
No, not this year.
Fair enough.
I think the presence of a Eurovision song for 2021. Thank you, Albania, was a gift enough for us.
Oh, yeah, but it's this one. are we starting off? Starting off hating on it? Is that what we're going to do?
It sounds like it. It sounds like it, Eric.
All right. So here's the thing. I don't remember how this song goes at all. I forgot after I heard it. It was one of those things where they announced the winner and I think a lot of people were like, which one was that? And that's not what you want the first response to be.
There was a vote split that resulted in a boring winner.
Well, I don't think we know. Do we know? Did they release any voting information?
I am literally looking that up right now, but I believe that it was basically during the show anyway. They basically just said, here are our third place, second place, and first place results, and they haven't actually given out any further information other than that. We know that it was a 7-member jury, frankly enough, almost entirely old white dudes. So, take that into account. It's not like they were doing a public televote or, polling an international audience like they do at Melody Festivalen. It wasn't necessarily that they were polling a variety of people from all over Albania. It looked like these were all generally older gentlemen rather than the diversity of opinions that could come with a wider variety. You work with what you got, and it's not like they could have a massive... Albania never... I think they've only had a national televote once or twice through all of this. It's almost always jury, but I'm just as mystified as you are, Eric.
Yeah, so we didn't actually name drop this. The winner is... Oh boy, Sam...
Angela. Her name is Angela.
Oh, it's just that's
it's
just pronounced Angela.
Angela.
Oh, okay.
Angela. Exotic name Angela.
Angela Peristeri.
Yep.
With Karma, which means she must have rescued a bus full of orphans at some point. And
she's
this
just
is
really
her,
good on Reddit.
Yeah. Oh. It's a bit up-tempo. And again, that's about all I remember. I was pretty darn fixated, as I think a lot of us were, on Enis Nziri's Pendesh, which was, oh man, one of the best ballads I've heard in a Eurovision song cycle in quite a while. I think, you know, if this had won last year, it would have been up there with Fire More in terms of ballad quality. It was really good. And she sang the hell out of it.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like, you know, you see the performance and you just think, well, that's it. Like, nothing's beaten that. And then it was not even in the top three, which is stunning.
Again, I don't know what the juries were looking for. I don't know what was going on there. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I don't speak Albanian. You know, raise your hand if you do. Anyone?
I thought you said English. I'm sorry.
So for all I know, the lyrical content could be incredibly important and we just don't get the subtleties. But, you know, I was kind of heartbroken to see some of my favorites not even make the top three. Mm-hmm. But it was really, really good to see, because I kind of keep my eye on Twitter, and sometimes there's an unofficial Eurovision Discord that I kind of keep my eye on as well. And just to see people's reactions to songs as they were coming up was really, really cool to see, especially for acts that didn't necessarily get the attention on the scoreboard. Like Mirud, who didn't even make it to the final a couple years ago with his first try, made it to the final this time with a more upbeat entry. And just to see the love that he was getting was great. Even though from what he was saying through his social media, he wasn't getting a lot of love from Albania itself, but the fans seemed to be really supporting him. Mm. But yeah, it's exciting to see the first song make it to the Wikipedia page and all that good stuff.
Yeah, we've got a song, you guys.
But at the same time, it's bittersweet. You know, we already have, you know, 18 songs from the final and 24 songs that are now by the wayside, and on we go.
I do want to clarify, I guess, I realize we kind of started this whole discussion with me taking a big dump on this song. But I want to stress, there is definitely a rash of, anytime there's a national final and there's a fan favorite that doesn't win, there tends to be this uncomfortable wave of negativity and anger, a lot of times directed at the artist who won and things like that, like, you don't deserve it, you don't, blah, 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 blah. I am not saying that, and I discourage anyone who does that from doing it, because it's gross, it's toxic, and it's not something we want the Eurovision community to be about in any way, shape, or form. That said, that feeling where you have this song that you're rooting for and it doesn't make it, and it's this horrible feeling, God, I missed it. like, hello, darkness, my old friend. Like, it's good to, it, in a way, it's good to have that back. It is a part of the season, you know? And I'm just saying, go ahead and feel that. Be passionate about the songs you like. Just stop being a dick. You, generally. The royal you.
And it's funny, like I'm realizing the last time that I'd had that feeling, that sort of, wait, that one? What? I mean, again, it's not an insult to the artist. It's just sort of the, huh? The last time that I felt that, Eric, you and I were in Chicago in March.
This is when Chichi Alina lost?
Yes, exactly. Okay. And that was like the last thing that we did in large public was be in Chicago for Game Bowl.
We were in a lift, I want to say.
But because at that time we weren't together. You were with one group and I was with Sue, but yes.
Oh, that, okay, yeah.
Yeah, you were in a lift. I was in the Chicago History Museum, I think. But yeah, I think we probably looked at our phones at the same time and went, what?
Oh, I'm thinking of the Danish national final. That is when we were on our way to Geek Bowl. And I have a feeling we may talk about Geek Bowl again on this show. We'll see. Stay tuned for the exciting conclusion of Geek Bowl talk. In the meantime, let's see what else we've got. We have a couple more returning artists confirmed. A couple of good ones, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, tell me.
No. Oh, no, wait. Yes.
End of episode.
Dun, dun, dun. We had rumors coming around back and forth that Hurricane would return for Serbia, but now we officially have word from the Serbian broadcaster that Hurricane will be returning. The buxom trio of lasses will be singing for Serbia. So the person who we are pretty sure is Derek's long-lost cousin will be returning.
Your family misses you.
I miss them too. Anyway, the other big news is that we get to welcome back Leslie Roy. He'll be singing for Ireland. RTE have confirmed that Leslie will be returning. We will get to see her in Rotterdam, and I'm so, so happy for that.
This is the big one I'm on the edge of my seat for. So she's not going to be doing any sort of, like, because Ireland just picks her anyway.
They
just
have
pick
recently,
their artists.
Yeah.
So she doesn't even really have to submit a song to be considered. She can just do whatever she wants as long as they okay it.
Well, I mean, between RTE and the EBU. I mean, I guess somebody has to.
Yeah, but it's not like she has to submit a song that is then up for consideration alongside other artists and their
song. No. Yeah, it's not like we'll talk about Lithuania in a little bit, but it's not like that. It's not like what. Yeah.
I have to wonder if situations like this in Ireland and in other countries where the selection is just automatically being said, okay, yeah, you're going, if maybe their songs are going to be a little bit more adventurous since they know they already kind of. That they're already going.
I don't know. I think it'd be a great question to ask her if we ever had the chance to bend her ear. Like
Leslie,
call
well,
us.
She Leslie? And I were in a documentary together. since we work so closely that I didn't know we were both in it until it was released. Anyway, this marks contestants 21 and 22 that are being brought forward from last year to this upcoming year. So over half the field now is confirmed to be back. And we may have, I mean, a few countries just haven't said either way. And a few are in the mix in a national final sort of situation. So we could get up to 25 plus returning artists from the lost contest.
Easily. Yeah. I mean, we have the folks from Little Big have said, yeah, we're sending songs into the Russian broadcaster, but it's in their hands now. So it could be more. I mean, we don't know what the UK is doing. We don't
inundating
know.
Inundating them with 20 songs.
And they're probably all incredible. And each one probably has an insane music video to go along with it. Yeah. I wouldn't count Little Big out. Let's be real here.
No.
What's next on our list?
Well, we can talk about Turkvision then.
Oh, Turkvision.
Talk about Turkvision.
So Turkvision is just, I don't know, is it like just Turkey's Eastern Bloc version? Like they just invite all of their friends to Turkvision and they just have their own anti-Eurovision party.
It kind of feels like that.
Who's actually shared between Turkvision and Eurovision? Because apparently this year's was won by Ukraine. Ukraine continuing their streak.
Yeah, there are a couple of countries that participate in both. Albania, North Macedonia.
Bulgaria doing Turkvision and not Eurovision? Bulgaria, or are they just not doing anything?
Huh? No, Bulgaria does Eurovision. They have not done Turkvision. But looking at countries that are doing both or have done both, Albania, Bosnia is not at Eurovision anymore, but they've done Turk.
They have done Turkvision. Okay.
North Macedonia does both. Azerbaijan, Poland, Germany, Ukraine, Serbia.
Germany even.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a huge Turkish population in Germany.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It looks like Germany has a specifically has a Turkish broadcaster that sponsors their participation in Turkvision.
Oh, I see.
And every song they've sent, and they haven't done it every year, but every song they've sent has been in Turkish.
Like the Turkish Telemundo.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, it's like Telemundo.
Turkomundo.
Yeah. let's see, you got Belarus, Romania. Kazakhstan does junior Eurovision, and then they do Turkvision.
Is there a junior Turkvision?
There has been.
Oh,
they
God.
They didn't do it this year, but they did it, I think, once or twice.
Okay.
Romania, Moldova, and Turkey doesn't do, obviously, Eurovision, Verovision, because they rage quit after 2012. But yeah, they dip into not just countries with Turkic populations, but also ethnic groups within other countries or like certain oblasts within Russia, like Bashkortostan, Tuva, Tatarstan. And then they'll do ethnic groups like the Iraqi Turkmen or the Nogai people or things like that. So it's a really interesting patchwork. So looking at this, about 8 of these entries for this year out of 26 are parts of Russia.
It's huge.
It's big.
So big right now.
So big.
I was very intrigued by, I believe it was the Kazakh Uyghurs had an entry.
Yes.
And that was weird.
One, I didn't even realize that there was a Uyghur population in Kazakhstan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it is a very unique style of music. I will leave it at that. If you are intrigued, and you should be, give that song a listen. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. I really do like Turkvision. I mean, the fact that it's similar in the fact of it's competitive and it's a festival of music that I love about Eurovision, but it's in a linguistic sphere that I know very little about, and it's more likely to embrace, you know, one's own language, one's own local culture. It's not just sanitized. It's more of a showcase with a competitive aspect rather than people sending a song to be liked universally.
But is it gaudy?
It can be.
Is it excessive?
This year it couldn't be because it was all done in front of a green screen.
Yeah.
But it has been.
Is there a reason why they quit doing it for a while and brought it back this year?
I think for a while there was an issue with tensions between Turkey and Russia. That, like I said, if 8 out of your 25 acts are Russian national and suddenly
you kill an ambassador,
ooh,
it's easier not to do it.
Yeah, oh, so boy. I think they kind of put it to the wayside there. And we haven't really even talked about the winner.
Yes, Ukraine, how do we pronounce her name? It was Ukraine, yeah.
It was Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Natalie Papazoglou. There we go. The song Tikhenly Yol, which means the road of thorns or thorny road, which was sung in the Gagauz language, which is, I believe...
Is that what Lady Gaga speaks?
Only if she's really drunk.
Ah, that language.
Yeah. So it's a Turkic language spoken by the Gagauz people in Moldova, Ukraine, Russia, and Turkey, spoken by about 150,000 speakers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's also really cool just to see a lot of minority languages really take center stage. Like we have song in Bashkir, which is sung by or spoken by about 1.4 million, but we don't know anything about it. There was a song in Tuvan, and that's spoken by about 250,000 people. You know, Yakut from Yakutia, which actually came in second place this year, and that's just under 500,000 speakers, mostly in Russia. But yeah, it's a really, really fascinating competition. It was a long slog. Supposedly out of the 26 songs, there was about, I'd say about 50% of the show itself was just recaps.
Yeah, if your favorite part of Eurovision is where they just do brief recaps and tell you what numbers to push when you vote, Turkvision is the contest for you, because it's basically just that forever.
I'll set my timer to tune in 70 minutes into the show.
Yeah.
They don't get that Vodafone money like they do in Malta.
Oh. Yeah, there's
that Malta.
Don't make fun of Malta.
They all got their St. George cross or whatever. They're fine.
That's true. Anyway, there were some really great songs in the mix this year. Like I said, the Ukrainian song Tikhenly Yol was really solid. The song that came in second, sort of a Yakut language rock called Mokshogolor, which I think means like hawks or falcons, something like that.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then there was the wonderfully, wonderfully awkward song that came in dead last from the Iraqi Turkmen population, Sarmad Mahmoud, with the song Kelebek, which I believe means butterfly. The song was
there. Were they just covering Butterfly by Crazy Town?
Oh.
Yes.
That's why it came in last.
Oh.
Sorry to bring you back to your worst memories from 1998.
Oh, geez, no.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Yeah. But yeah, if you want to see a awkward and yet well-meaning song being performed.
You know I do.
Yeah. Our dear friends over at, or dear friend actually, because it's really sort of a one-man show, over at Eurovision Apocalypse did a little piece on the glory that was Kelebek. So I recommend that you check his stuff out. Basically, it was Sarmad during the long instrumental break, literally just staring at the camera, completely still.
Yes.
Not really dancing, just kind of waiting. Sort of like the worst karaoke night ever. Don't quite know what to do with your arms.
It's like doing karaoke to tequila.
Yeah.
There was that much instrumental.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. All right.
Or at least in the middle. But yeah, I'm excited about Turkvision 2021. Hopefully they keep it going.
Does it usually happen at this time of the year?
It's only happened like 4 times, so there's
I see.
There's not much of a track record to go on here, let's be real.
Will we eventually get like a merger, like the AFL and NFL, and have a Super Bowl between the Eurovision winner and the Turkvision winner? Playing American football, of course.
Mm-hmm. I imagine it would be hard because Turkvision does all of those, you know, nations rather than countries. So that might be a little bit problematic for Western Europe, which likes its veneer of stability.
Yeah, especially because Northern Cyprus has an entry, and I don't know how that would play with the rest of it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yikeroni.
Yeah, I was already thinking, I was like, well, it's going to be a pie in the face for England seeing a Welsh and Scottish competitor, but that's a little more extreme. That's a bit more of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
My brain just keeps going back to the Tuvan entry at Turkvision, would have been, like maybe 2014. One of my favorite entries ever. Didn't even make it out of its semifinal. A song called Çavdar, that halfway through it, she just starts throat singing.
Oh,
and it's wonderfully chaotic and beautiful, and highly recommend you scope that out on YouTube if you haven't already. Saylık Olmun from Tuva singing Çavdar. It's kind of badass.
This really was a cool thing to watch. There are so many like of these ethnic groups in Eastern Europe and Western Asia that you just don't see really in any other, at least I don't, any other form of media or entertainment or anything like that. So seeing all of these different approaches to music and things like that, I was a little bummed, honestly, that not that the song was bad or anything, but that the winner was kind of just a pop song.
Yeah,
it wasn't weird.
Her outfit was a little weird.
Her outfit was weird. That is
her true. Outfit was a little weird. It would have been a little bit Barbara Dexy if it had been in the other show. But again, hop on YouTube. Let us know what you think. Tweet us back, 12 Points USA. We'd love to hear what you think.
Yeah. Let's see. What else happened? Well, there was another Eurovision again, and it was one that we helped make, sort of.
That's true. I'm so sorry.
I'm not sorry. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I live by all the choices that I made.
Including that shirt.
Yeah.
Hey-o.
Yeah, so that was a fun little interlude from Eurovision again.
So far as Eurovision again, as far as our list is concerned, only 7 of our top 10 were actually selected, actually made it through the voting.
Yeah, so we put together 12 points on down to 1 for this. Part of the calculation in some manner. We don't know exactly how. And, well,
the Eurovision community has no taste because our number 1 and number 2 did not make it in.
That's right. Why don't we count this down from our 1 point and then up to our 12?
Sure, go for it.
And see what happens. So we gave 1 point to Stones by Zibs from Switzerland.
That one to me. Favorite. A bunch of teams wanted that one to go in from Switzerland.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That was and it did pretty well in the final standings, I think.
I think so.
If I remember right. Pauly Shea, Fire of Love from Poland, made the cut, got 2 points from us. Lost and Found by...
IQ.
IQ, that's right.
North Macedonia.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would miss the cut, but it was replaced by Dance Alone, which I would have been okay with as well.
Oh, yeah. Extremely okay with Dance Alone getting in.
Yeah.
For North Macedonia there. That got our 3 points, ended up being useless.
Yeah.
Our 4 points went to Igranka from Montenegro.
Which did go in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did.
Yeah, you know.
amazing. Playing with Numbers from, that's Ireland, right?
Yes, Molly.
Got our 5 points. That is a nice song. I'd kind of completely forgotten about it.
I literally yelled out in joy when I saw that they had actually put that on the show. I was not expecting that to make it to the show.
Yeah. One of my favorites. I don't know if I gave this my personal 12 points among the songs we were discussing or not. I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure you did.
It was my number one song of 2018 for a while. Oniromu from Greece. I love this. Absolutely love this song. That got 6 points from us as a group. 7. Another song that I'd kind of forgotten about, and I think I can see why, because of how ball-shatteringly sad it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is Blackbird from
Finland. That's a song that you feel like wins awards, but not necessarily votes.
The
Oscar bait of songs?
Yes, it's the Oscar bait of Eurovision entries, yeah.
I remember thinking, this is brilliant, and I completely understand why nobody voted for it.
Yeah.
Because this is brutal. Like, it's so well done. But it's just a kick in the nuts.
It is.
A kick in the emotional nuts is what that song
emotional
is.
Nuts.
We gave our
emotion nuts
from Planters.
Our 8 pointer.
Peanut, no.
Our 8 pointer was that was not enough. I have no fault with us giving that 8 points. I feel like that's perfect.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Song. Good, unbelievable song. That it did. Not only did it not qualify, it did horribly, as I recall. Is that accurate?
I wouldn't say horribly. It kind of was lower table, yeah, but it was if I remember correctly, in 2011, it was in a tough semifinal. It was a song in Bulgarian. Polygenova didn't have the kind of clout and currency within the Eurovision community that she does now. And listening back to it, I think there may have been some pitch problems at the end of the song, but the song is still a freaking bop, and I honestly love it even more than If Love Was a Crime. Call me crazy, but that's just where I am.
I feel like that's a great song to have as our 8 pointer, and by 8 pointer I mean the last song that we liked that everyone else did, because our 10 pointer and our 12 pointer did not make it to the show. Our 10 pointer was Armenia. Was it Sirbuk?
Yep.
Sirbuk's Walking Out, and then our 12 point was Senet's A Matter of Time.
Yeah, I'm not.
They
surprised.
Went with Jutador for Belgium, yeah. Which Sam believes is just because it's a classic.
It's considered a fan favorite.
Yeah, a famous non-qualifier.
Yeah, so much so that within certain circles of the fandom, calling something a Kate Ryan is a very, very specific part of the vernacular. So, yeah.
Catherine
that being
Ryan?
Said,
oh, my bad. Never mind.
But that being said, that's probably why I was so wanting to pull for A Matter of Time, just because it was something a little different.
It was so good.
Oh, it's so good. It started what I fear is going to be a frustratingly long run of Belgium sending amazing non-qualifiers.
A real drought of Belgian stuff. I mean, just for Belgian's standings in the actual contest. Even Elliot, I felt, was better than some songs that wound up advancing.
Yeah.
There were some choices made that I'm very upset and confused by what the heck they were doing there, and yet walking out was not.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and Armenia wasn't in the show at all.
No, I think they've only had like two non-qualifiers, haven't they, though?
Oh, that's true.
Walking out, Kami. Mm-hmm.
So there was one other one.
I'm sure it'll come to, and I'm not trying to think of it.
No, I love Kami extra. I believe when we did our little, our 12 Points of America only voting amongst us, I advocated for Kami. Mm.
I know you did.
What other countries didn't get any representation in this? I mean,
there were countries that have only had one non-qualifier, and I think they just didn't count those. So we didn't see Sweden with This Is My Life. We didn't see Russia. We didn't see Azerbaijan.
That wouldn't have made it anyway.
Norway, I believe. Just, you know.
Well, yeah, because they
didn't have any.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We saw Denmark. Did we see Netherlands? Yeah, we saw Netherlands. Obviously, we didn't see any of the big five countries.
Mm-hmm. Portugal made it in with Susie, right?
Yes, which doesn't surprise me.
The fans love the Susie.
Oh, yes. The Susie Shake is something that you will see at Euroclub for decades to come, even if it will break people's hips. But yes, the Susie Shake.
Listen, sacrifices have to be made, you know. So
we did see San Marino. We saw Andorra. We actually saw a handful of countries that don't participate anymore, which I thought was very nice to see.
Yeah, Slovakia was in there.
Yeah,
Bosnia, or maybe not.
No, Bosnia always qualified, except for the last run with Lou Bagué.
Right.
Yeah. We saw Andorra with Anonymous, which is...
Oh, they were awesome.
They were so good. That pop-punk...
Yeah, pop punk from Andorra, or as I like to call it, Blink 182nd in population.
Hey, wow.
I've been formulating this for the past 7 days.
I mean, I tweeted it during the show. But it's really good. It's the joke so nice I told it twice.
Own it. Yeah. See, we saw Monaco with the freaking Coco dance. They put the Coco dance in there, but they didn't put Walking Out. EBU, I've got a bone to pick with you. You put Moldova with the sexy cops in there. You put Lieutenant Dangle in there.
That's right.
But you didn't put Walking Out.
That's right.
So, I've got words with you, folks. I've got words. I've got grievances. I'm going to air
them. It's what sells in the EBU. It's just sex. We want to see upper thigh. That's all we want.
Yeah.
You know, I'm having a hard time remembering what won the vote. Like, what was
Iceland?
Iceland.
Mm. That's right.
Greta Salome. Hear them
calling. Yeah. Of the songs that immediately went and did an aesthetic Heroes ripoff, that one was pretty darn good. And it was nice to see some vindication of that, I guess. It wouldn't have been my choice for the top in the selection that we got. By a long shot. I don't know that I gave it any points at all, actually. Or no, I think I did. I gave it a couple points, I think. But
there were some great songs in there. But yeah, it's always good to see the vindication.
I mean, Zibs did come second, I believe.
Woo!
The Stones.
Nice.
Nobody's throwing stones. Nobody.
So that'll be our last Eurovision again for probably a couple of months, probably until after Eurovision 2021.
Yeah, because legitimate Eurovision is now happening again.
There are things.
It's national happening. Finals. Eurovision again. This feels like it's just going to be 2020 Eurovision again.
Yeah. Speaking of stones, before we move off of that,
yes.
How many songs featured in this show that they just had were specifically from Semi 1 of 2018? There were quite a few, I think, because Stones
Greece?
Was, Oniromu was, and I think there may have been at least one or two others.
I'm looking at the table. There's no others from 2018, but that's still, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, and A Matter of Time should have been. So that's like 2.5.
We did have Poland and Romania from 2019.
Yeah.
That's true. It was actually decently spread out. There were a couple from the early days of semifinals as well. I mean, Jetador was a relatively early one.
Uh-huh.
The Coco dance again. I keep coming back to the freaking Coco dance.
Oh, we need to leave the Coco dance. Gretchen, it's not happening. Stop trying to make the Coco dance happen.
It's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, orienting ourselves to 2020 Eurovision again, let's talk about some national finals news that is moving us towards knowing exactly what's going to happen. Spain is going to do a sort of ersatz mini national final to pick Los Cantos' new song.
Yeah, it looks like they've got a couple of songs in the running, so they're actually going to have an actual televised mini national final, which is actually more than they did for Blas in 2020.
And he's going to sing them all 10 in a row.
Oh, God.
how are they going to do this? Like,
I mean, news just broke about this today. So I think it's just going to be a standard show. I don't know if it's going to be 3 songs or 10 songs. They've done something similar in the past. In 2012, they did something similar for Pastora Soler. I think they gave her 3 or 4 songs and she sang them all. I think they did the same in 2013. So it's not completely out of the blue for Spain. But it's nice to see them really supporting Blas instead of just saying, okay, here's your song, away you go. It's a good platform for him.
My money is on whichever one has the highest unexpected falsetto.
Yeah, so whichever one has the most unnecessary high note.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a tough choice.
Skipping across to almost the opposite side of the continent, Lithuania's contest, their contestant list is out.
Yeah, yeah.
The Roop is back. The Roop. We knew. Yeah,
we knew the Roop would be back. But not only did we know that they would be back, we knew that they would be given a fast pass to the actual final of the show. So that was a foregone conclusion. And supposedly they say they're in it to win it.
Yes. Now, because this is the Baltic states, Sam, we need to bring you in to pronounce these names.
Okay.
Filia Matačiūnaitė?
That's as close as I was going to be able to get.
Ooh,
to.
Ooh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, she represented Lithuania in 2014.
Then right. Evelina Sashenko?
Yep, exactly.
Yes!
Yep.
Eat it, Eric.
And Twozome?
Twozome.
Twozome.
It's twosome.
The return of twosome.
Who is twosome? Tell me who this is.
They
What's
are the
on?
Lithuanian basketball players.
Oh my, ugh, okay. Now I Danny, understand why I erased it from my memory.
Come on, raise your hands and dance with them. Yes, so we get to see twosome giving it another try. Evelina Sashenko mentioned she sang in 2011, very sort of classic opera-y type ballad. Dear friend Ewan Spence over at the ESC Insight podcast and I refer to her as the Mecca Streisand. And
why?
Watch her 2011 performance and you'll see. It's just very, very classic big ballad.
She's 40 feet tall. And
yeah, shoots lasers out of her eyes. Yeah. Yeah, but surprise qualifier back in 2011. And it's nice to see her back, I guess. And now I have a couple of weeks to practice my pronunciation of Filia Matačiūnaitė.
Noise.
But twosome, y'all. Twosome.
Twosome's back.
Twosome.
I wonder what they're going to go with. Like, I mean, I feel like they only have the one gear.
I am a Lithuanian handball player.
Yeah.
Well, they're not going to like branch out and say I'm an Estonian water polo player or anything like that. I mean, keep in mind, these are the guys who just did a cover on, I think it was like X Factor or Lithuania's Got Talent. They did a cover of Ya Ya Ding Dong while wearing kilts.
So
like, I will watch whatever the hell they do.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I'm so excited. I mean, granted, it's the Roops to lose if they have a song as good as last year. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm excited for them. I had forgotten about until somewhat recently. Somebody brought it up on Twitter, I think. Do you remember the like pep talk that the Roop had in, was it Europe Shine a Light or one of the other ones where the Mr. Roop, the bald guy, just sort of had this really nice, like, hey, everybody, it's going to be all right. Let's stick together. Do you guys remember what I'm talking about?
It would have either been the Europe Shine a Light or maybe one of the home concerts, possibly. I'd have to check and see.
Okay.
It also gives me an excuse to watch the home concerts again. Let's be real.
Well, whatever that was from, it was really nice. It was a really nice little like pep talk almost.
I mean, honestly, like On Fire, even though on the surface it just seemed like this little happy kind of minimalistic Euro disco groove, but if you really kind of scratch underneath the surface, it was all about how you might be in your mid-30s and being, you know, surrounded by people in their teens and 20s who are at the height of their game. That doesn't mean that you're at the nadir of yours, that you have no expiration date and you can gain traction and you can have inspiration at any given moment, no matter what your age. And like, as somebody who is in her mid-30s, like I look at that and go, hell yeah. So
I can rhyme higher and fire.
You can
do that. This is day one stuff, Derek.
Who's going to stop me?
You know what? I sure as hell will not. Okay.
Well done.
Let's move to Italy.
Oh,
San Remo.
Yeah.
I would rather not right now. Maybe in like 5 or 6 months. Italy, I mean, San Remo, we have a ton of news for just because that's its own contest.
Yeah.
Universe.
No Diodato. Oh, man. He let us know that he was not interested.
Yeah, which is a shame.
However, we do have Francesca Michelin.
Yes. No Degree of Separation, one of my favorite songs from 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So we see her returning again as actually part of a duet, so that'll be great. We also see the return of Ermal Mehta, who won it in 2018 as part of a duet. and now is solo again.
San Remo starts when, remind me?
That would be in
February?
March, I believe, March. This year. They pushed it a little bit back, so it's going to be in March. Other big names. I mean, the thing about, I say big names, and these are big names who we might know by having watched San Remo before, but these are huge names in Italian music in general, not just in a Eurovision sphere. Like, these are just the best of the best of the best.
Yeah, screw Verdi.
Yeah, Joe
Green. Yeah.
I'm talking about Annalisa.
Yes. Well, hang on.
Yeah.
What?
I was just going to sing the praises of Annalisa.
Yes.
It's called Il Mondo Prima di Te. Is that right?
So good. See, yeah.
It won the second chance contest in 20-something, 18?
18, 19? 18, I think.
I think 18. That song is incredible. Incredible. Her performance of it is amazing. The studio version of it is top-notch. Everything about it's good. So that's the name I'm most excited for. I hope her song is Dynamito, or whatever the word is.
Okay. Yeah. Other names that people might recognize, named Gaia, Noemi, my personal favorite, Arisa, who I've been a fan of since about 2010 when she won the Giovanni, like the young, the upcoming artist level of Sanremo.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, she's been consistently great at the big full-on Sanremo. And she's consistently said that she's wanted to do Eurovision as well. Because it's not like if somebody wins Sanremo, they kind of get like right of first refusal for Eurovision. But Arisa has said many times over the years, I want to go. And she actually won Sanremo in 2014, but that was the only year where they decided to divest Sanremo and the Eurovision selection, and they went completely internal.
Oh.
So... yeah. So I think she might be a little bit about that, but her time will come, I hope, because I think she's absolutely brilliant. Check out some of her stuff if you haven't already. We do not have the return, unfortunately, of the Pinguini di Tacchici Nucleari.
Yes,
there are no tactical nuclear penguins this year. Mm-hmm. But if you are looking for the niche that would have been filled by the penguins, I would tell you to take a look at Lo Stato Sociale, who came in top three at Sanremo a couple of years ago with the song Una Vita in Vacanza. So if you're looking for that sort of tongue-in-cheek pop rock vibe, keep your eyes on Lo Stato Sociale. So that's another pick to look out for. I haven't delved too deep into this, but Eric, it looks like you put some notes in about a doll, the Hungarian national final that's not a national final.
That is correct. Just like a fan site for the movie Annabelle, we have news about a doll. That's terrible.
Derek, roll the music.
No, I'm still got news. Okay, here we go. A doll. It means the song, I believe,
yep.
In Hungarian. This is Hungary's quote-unquote national final, even though it is not feeding into Eurovision exactly. It is still happening. I mean, it happened this past year as well, I believe. It's just they're not doing Eurovision. They're just kind of doing this and then stopping, something like that. So this year, they have released the songs and the artists, and I gotta say, it's a pretty good lineup. There are some good hard rock things, like Aveyesh. Not Aveyesh specifically, but some acts along those lines are in there. Some great pop tunes, some great sort of in-between rock type songs. And one name that came up when I looked into this, and it does not appear that he's part of the contest itself, but he released a song saying it was for a doll, even though it's not in the lineup. I'm not entirely clear on what the connection is. It may just be that he did it and then Hungary was like, no. Our boy, Andres Calais Saunders, the American-born Hungarian artist from 2014, and he's been in a doll a few times since as well.
Oh yeah, I think some really good songs too.
He's a big guy over there. I released a song called Coming Home that again was supposed to be in the show, and I guess it's not entirely clear why, but it's pretty good. It's a decent song. If you liked running or some of his other songs, you should probably check it out. I also, while researching this, checked out his Instagram, and a few months ago he posted a photo of himself in a Minnesota Twins jersey.
Hey.
I don't know what that's about, but good
on
you.
Just likes the aesthetic.
Yeah, I mean, that's very possible. I don't know that he's likely to be a big Twins fan. He should be, but I don't, maybe.
I mean, he's not from Minnesota. He's a New Yorker, if I'm not mistaken, but hey, we'll take him.
Yeah, come on. You might be able to make the starting rotation, actually, if you get here soon.
If you jump in quick.
Yeah, anyway, go Twins. Believe it or not, this may not be the last Minnesota sports thing I bring up in this show, but we'll see what happens.
Wow.
But yeah, check out Adal, Hungary. Obviously, there are things going on there right now, and Eurovision is pretty far from the forefront in anyone's mind, that sort of thing. But Hungary, we miss you, and we hope you can come back sometime very soon.
So I feel like a couple weeks ago we mentioned how every time that we come back, we have some sort of random news about somebody in The Masked Singer, somebody in Dancing with the Stars, and we've got another one.
Every time.
Every freaking time. So one of my favorite songs from last year's Lithuanian National Final, other than Playa and On Fire, was a song called Alligator by a singer named Kyra. Just kind of funny and melancholy at the same time. Really.
You can't keep a good Lithuania down.
You really can't. Like, seriously.
Gonna keep coming back.
For a country with very few actual land masses, they know how to race the heights, you know? They are solid. But anyway, Kyra just won Dancing with the Stars Lithuania. And not only that, she did it with a cha-cha to Think About Things.
Think About Things will not die.
Good.
Like, never.
It was so clearly going to be top three last year. And I have this strange feeling that Daddy Ferrer is just going to come back and he's just going to go, I'm not even gonna win. We all know I won before.
Go ahead. All right. I was just gonna say, as time goes on, the more convinced I am that had Eurovision 2020 gone on, that would have won.
Yeah.
Like there's very little doubt in my mind at this point.
Yeah. Eat it, you know, Derek.
I think there is also a little bit of vindication in the fact that I was watching this year's episode of Big Fat Quiz of the Year. The classic British end of year wrap up. And
forgot
they did
that happened.
And they mentioned they had a bit on TikTok dance crazes, and they mentioned Think About Things as just a song. They didn't say the song from Eurovision. It was a song in its own right. And I can't remember the last time that's really happened in the British public, that there's like been a Eurovision song that's crossed over and hasn't carried the scarlet letter of this is a Eurovision
song. The big red E.
Right.
I wonder if that will motivate them to do better. It probably won't, but I'm going to wonder if it would.
I'm wondering how many people who know Think About Things as a TikTok craze or as just a pop song know that it's a Eurovision song. Like, I'm wondering the average Brit or the average, I know it was a big hit in Ireland as well, like how many know that it's a Eurovision song?
And perhaps by extension, how many would be less enthused if they knew it was
a Eurovision song?
Yeah.
Well, it's good enough to dance the cha-cha to.
Heck yeah.
Did she perform dressed as the Joker?
Sadly, no.
Like she did in the national final?
Oh, no. Ooh.
Oh, she should have. That would have been great.
Found a large staircase to dance down. Yeah.
That's right.
So, okay, the next bullet point on here, I'm a little bit confused.
I'm also baffled about this. Eric learns about large man.
Yes, that's correct. Transitioning from one large man to another. I was, the other day, this is one of those things where I'm just going to say now, I promise I'm going somewhere with this. I was watching.
I love the stories that you have to preface yourself by saying, I'm going somewhere with this.
I promise this is worth it.
Because I know you're going to take us on a ride. And I
everybody
love
loves a story that comes with a warning. And here it is.
Bring on that shaggy dog.
I was watching some NBA basketball on Christmas Day, which is an important tradition in the Nelson household, and was talking to my my lovely girlfriend, Liz, about a fellow named Nikola Pekovic, who played for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Shout out to the Wolves, friend of the show. He is from Montenegro. He is one of the largest human beings I have ever seen. He was a center for the Wolves for a number of years until when you're that big, sometimes you will like roll an ankle or something like that, and then you're just never the same. And that's what happened to him.
And then they sent you to the glue factory. Yeah,
that's right. Apparently, he's a drug lord now. But moving on, he also got COVID and was hospitalized. That was like the last news bit about.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, interesting guy. Had a friend who lived in the same building as him when he was here in Minnesota. Said he was a really nice guy. I guess he never pissed him off. Anyway, the reason, one of the things that I thought about with this guy was, there's a fellow named Igor Vovkovinsky, who is touted as like the world's biggest Timberwolves fan, not in terms of like fandom, but in terms of physical size. Igor is 7 feet 8 inches tall. He is the tallest person living in the United States, as a matter of fact. And he's a huge, huge Wolves fan. And he lives down in Rochester, because I imagine when you're that big, you have to go to the Mayo Clinic a lot. So this came up because there's a great photo of him with Nikola Pekovic, the Montenegrin monster, as it were. And Pek, who again is an enormous man, looks tiny next to this guy because of how huge this dude is. And then I went down sort of a rabbit hole of, okay, so what's the deal with this guy? Oh, he lives in Minnesota. I was trying to remember what it was that made him a Wolves fan, and it's because he actually lives in the state, and so on and so forth. And I was looking, he has a Wikipedia page, and lo and behold, this guy was at Eurovision.
Yep.
He was on stage. He was a part of the performance. For,
I thought you were going to say he was in the audience, and they forced him to sit down.
Sir, could you please move? No. And he's like, I can't. He was with Zlata Onyevic in the, I mean, it was Ukraine, so it qualified, in 2013, so in Malmo. And I thought, whoa, there are maybe two people who have a strong connection to both the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Eurovision Song Contest. One of them is me.
Yeah,
the other
say.
Is the largest man in the country. And I just thought, what a weird connection that there sort of is here. So I sent a note to Sam saying, hey, are you familiar with this guy? And Sam was like, oh, yeah. And then she sent me a photo of the two of them because you met him in Malmo.
I interviewed him. He said he was a super nice guy. Like, yeah, he was doing interviews. And yeah, I chatted with him for a while about, you know, his experience of not, I didn't want to just focus on the fact that he's very, very tall. Like, everybody knows that. You look at the guy, it's like, obviously, you are a very, very tall man.
So what's it like up there?
But I mean, like his
experience.
You don't
want to do that.
I didn't want to be that person. But I asked him about his experience of, you know, being a Ukrainian and American, how it feels to be representing your birthplace while living in another. And it was actually a really nice discussion. And then a few minutes later, I was working with ESE Insight. And at the time, we had a puppet named Terry, who was based on Terry Wogan. We've since retired the character because the real Terry is, you know, dead. But yeah, we ended up having a fun chat with Igor and the puppet as well. So that was fun. But yeah, I am 5'7". So, you know, relatively tall for an American woman, you know, average to tall. And the picture with me standing next to Igor, I felt like a kindergartner looking up to their teacher. I am not a tiny human being, and I was just dwarfed. Actually, getting to meet him was actually very, very cool. So, Igor, it's been a while. Friend of the show.
Yeah, we should get him on the show. Talk about Minnesotan things and Eurovision things. Assuming he doesn't hate Eurovision now and, like, he's dealing with it or something like that. Igor, in the event that you are listening, we'd love to chat. I would love to be your friend. We can talk about the Timberwolves and or Eurovision to any degree you wish. That's a promise. The best thing about that photo, Sam, I don't know if I told you this part, was I had asked
me,
you,
the photo of me and Igor, or the photo of Igor with the with.
Oh,
the
oh no, with you, was that I was able to. This was a couple days after Liz and I had looked up this guy and were talking about him. You sent me that photo and I saw it, and then I turned to Liz and was like, "Hey, remember that huge guy that's like a Wolves fan and was Eurovision guy?" And she's like, "Yeah, why?" And I go, "Well, here's a picture of him with Sam," and
for scale,
like what? How? Why? It was great.
So
was
you know, like how on Imager you have banana for scale?
Mm-hmm.
Like
in this little case, Sam Ross for scale.
In this case, it's just Sam Ross for scale. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am banana. But,
but anyway, yeah. That is ultimately the meaning of Eric learns about large man.
Well, the funny thing was, like, literally about 3 days before you messaged me, Eric, I was on Twitter, and another mutual friend of ours who's very politically active, Igor, had also styled himself as America's largest Obama supporter. Mm-hmm. And our mutual friend, who I don't think listens to the podcast, but Bree, we'll just call her Bree because that's, you know, her name, also had met him at an Obama rally here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, no kidding.
Ago. So
that
six,
is funny. That's
six
crazy.
Degrees of Igor Volkovinsky. I kind of love it.
Well, Igor, you're cool. And with that, I have one other thing that I add in here. By the time this episode releases, it's going to be 2021.
Thank God.
It'll be a whole new year. And so we haven't really done like a burning question this week. So I'm just going to ask a really simple one here really quick. Obviously, there were not a lot of the Eurovision things that happened this year were good. You know, the contest was canceled after all and all of that. But what was your favorite Eurovision related moment of 2020 out of anything that happened?
Oh, man. It's so hard to encapsulate, you know?
The Eurovision at home rendition of Solovey.
Can their Dancing Lasha Tumbai cover be bundled into that?
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yeah, we can do that because that's the same. That was the same special. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Making sure. Because
most definitely. Yeah.
That was probably my favorite cover.
It's part and parcel. Yeah.
Covers. Yeah, exactly. For me, I think it's got to be, honestly, that same day, Sam, that you were talking about earlier when we were in Chicago. I was at the art museum and they have a Jeff Koons there, a sculpture of the woman in Cicciolina, of Cicciolina herself. In the modern art wing, and I tweeted a thing from the 12 Points account about it, and that's how we found out that the gentlemen from EuroWhat were also in town. They were also there for Geek Bowl. They were just a few tables away from us.
Yep.
And we would have had no idea. None well, whatsoever.
I think the fact that their team name was called Hankrid Mun Sigra blended.
Yeah, we would have figured it out.
And Hatari, we would have figured out that there was another Eurovish fan in our midst
at that point. Yeah. But just this unbelievably serendipitous thing, and to get to meet those guys who are great, by the way, true friends of the show. We did a Eurovision movie like double show with them, and that was just so cool. It was such a cool thing to get to talk Eurovision with some new friends and stuff like that. And what ended up being a very, very cool night for other reasons. Speaking of which, Geeks Who Drink, please pay your winners. Yeah, that was cool. And that's got to be my favorite Eurovision-y thing from this year.
Aww.
Derek, what about you? You're looking pensive over there.
I was thinking about this is kind of a weird one, but when all the songs were released and we had some time to sit with them and the betting odds had kind of settled, the top three songs, I think, were Bulgaria, Lithuania, and Iceland. And it was so nice to see those countries being the favorite. And having never won before, this was a year for like a new country to take the trophy home. Mm. And I was really, really excited about that.
Now I'm sad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, every once in a while you'll have a year like that. Like if you had said 20 years ago, 15 years ago, that the top three of Eurovision 2017 would have been Portugal, Bulgaria, and Moldova, You would have been smacked silly. So every once in a while you have a great sort of really kind of year and off you go to a country you weren't expecting.
We need more years like that.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, for me...
Yeah, Sam.
My brain just keeps going back to watching and listening to Diodato's performance of Fairo More in the abandoned,
the big arena.
The arena in Verona, the amphitheater in Verona. I just actually watched it again today for a piece I'm doing for Insight. And I just watched that back again. And it hit home. It really, really hit home. Just not only the solid nature of the song, which I had during Sanremo, I kind of ignored the song itself because I was so focused on the penguins. And the more I listened to the song, it just hit harder and harder and harder. And then seeing him do that performance from that empty arena, it was gorgeous and sad and desolate and hopeful in the only way that 2020 can be.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was bittersweet as hell, but it was just masterful. And that's got to be one of them for me.
That's a great choice, Sam. That's
thank you.
Oh, brutal. But amazing nonetheless. Just brutal.
Well, hopefully 2021 will give us more moments, better moments, happier moments.
It better.
I'm going to make another extreme prediction for next year.
Oh, dear. Oh, no. If it's the UK winning again, I'm going to be very disappointed. Okay.
It's not the UK winning again. UK is going to almost win with a performance that becomes a very spiteful meme.
Ooh.
That's it.
Spiteful meme prediction.
Yep,
I like
the finger on the monkey's paw curls slowly.
I wish to be competitive at Eurovision. I like it.
Yep. All right, well, folks, what were your favorite moments listening at home? Let us know what your favorite moments, whether it was musical or social or whatever it was. Give us something good from 2020 and hit us up again on social media, on Twitter or Facebook at 12pointsUSA. Email us directly, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We would really, really love to hear from you. One of the things that I love about the Eurovision fandom is it really is a community. And watching things like Eurovision again and the response that that's gotten, it really just hammered it home this year. It's something I hadn't seen even after 10 years in a press center, that without the viewers and the fans, this is nothing. So that engagement keeps us all going, whether we are the show itself or just a bunch of podcasters sitting at home. But we can't do it without you. I think I speak on behalf of everybody when I say I wish everybody a happy and healthy and safe and sane 2021. And I can't wait to close the door on the hellhole that has been 2020.
Ah, yes.
Yeah? Y'all get an amen on that?
Mm. Amen.
Good enough.
Oh, yes.
Any last words before we wrap this up? I got dinner on the stove, y'all.
Ooh, no.
No, I think you summed it up very well.
Thanks, y'all. Well, in that case, I suppose I'll see you in next year.
See you next year, Hoodoo.
Granted, it's still going to take me at least 6 months for me to stop writing 2020 on documents and stuff.
But once you do, we can get back to normal. And not a moment before.
Okay, I better practice then.
We're counting on you.
All depends on me. All right. Until next time, folks, I've been Samantha.
I've been Eric.
I've been Derek.
I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now.
bit of news was that Ireland's RTE, not Ireland's ERTE.
Ireland's RTE.
Lucky Charms.
Oh, God. Can I do that again, guys? I'm sorry.
Why? That was fantastic.
No, it was perfect.
It's been a long day, guys.